Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Veda Marie, the Golden Oracle. Today, we are addressing loss, grief, and an eternity of love. In her long career as seer and spiritual counselor, Ada Marie has confronted hundreds of grief-stricken clients. What has she learned, and how has her closeness with spirit enabled her to be there for them with positive and healing thoughts to guide them through the dark hours of pain and loss? Those who must continue to live without loved ones will be comforted, and even those who doubt the concept of life after death will be fascinated by her uplifting stories. She can speak of the beauty of heaven and evidence she has witnessed of the constant caring and concern of those on the other side offer us. And welcome today, Ada Marie.
Well, welcome to you, Mary. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm sure people are waiting to hear the wonderful news that you have for them.
Well, and I have a question for you, because you have become a healer long ago, and I do have some answers for them, but I would like you to tell us how you first found out you were a healer, because you said you didn't have a grandmother to teach you, but you had to have an experience to let you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you had healed someone. What was that experience?
That's a little bit off topic, but originally when I was 15, a bolt of lightning came right down the wall 3 feet from me, and it evidently activated the part of my brain that opened a channel so that spirit could direct the healing energy through me. And I had no idea what was going on. I grew up in the Bible Belt, and there wasn't, you know, there weren't healers around, and it was a long time ago, long, long before the world changed so that healers are okay. You know, they used to kill people. They used to burn people for witches,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
But anyway, I managed to fool myself for about 25 years and convince myself that all I was doing was giving good massages. Until one day one evening I gave a massage to my yoga instructor, because I had known that he was in terrible pain in his lower back, and actually it was the last time I saw him for quite a while. This was August of 68, because I moved away and I didn't go back to class. And in March of 69, I decided I really missed those classes and called him to find out if they were same time, same place. And he was thrilled to hear from me, and I couldn't imagine why. But he said, you know, the massage you gave me, my back hasn't hurt since. And I said, that's nice, you know, because you give a massage, you think people feel better. But he said, yeah, well, he said, my back hasn't hurt since, and he says, I've been carrying shrapnel in my back since World War II, and there weren't 2 days side by side since I didn't have this terrible agonizing pain in my back. But he says, the reason I'm so thrilled you called is I tore a ligament in my leg, and I want you to fix my leg like you fixed my back. Well, I was absolutely terrified, and I managed to get off the phone and sat there shaking and looking at my hands and saying, who are you? What do you want from my life? And I shook for about 3 weeks, because it was a shock. And then I decided, well, if I can do that, help a stranger, why not help the man I love? And I worked on John, who was at that time my fiancé. And an injury that he had had 25 years before when he was 14. It was healed, and his leg which had been frozen. His knee would never straighten out. It straightened out, and his back recovered from two injuries. He was in the stable bringing a horse in on the 4th of July, and somebody shot off a firecracker, and the horse bolted, and he wound up cracking his coccyx. And the other one, he got a herniated disc from lifting an outboard motor out of a boat after the tide had gone down. So for the rest of his life, he could straighten out his leg like the injury had never happened, and he never had another back pain. So that's how I learned that I came to face to face with the fact that I was a healer. Before that, I had managed to dodge and dart, you know.
Right. But it's not a gift, Mary. People say, oh, you have a gift. I don't have a gift. I work hard to stay on a high level of consciousness and be able to send those healings out that they reach their target, and that's what you do. You stay in a higher plane of consciousness to be able to do that.
Oh, of course. Of course, you have to keep the channel open. Just like, you know, the telephone is not a gift either. You have to keep the wires correct,
you
know. You
have to pay the bill.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. But tell me about, now that you've dragged this out of me, tell me how you learned that you were able to heal, to comfort people who had lost loved ones and were really in miserable pain about it.
Well, first off, the first thing, I had been pronounced dead a couple of times, and when I came back, everybody was fine. But I said to them, I said, if you ever cross that veil, you will be absolutely upset that you have to come back into the world, because it is so beautiful, so wonderful, and perfect. The weather, the air, everything there is perfect. There's nothing on the other side of the veil that isn't genuine, pure, divine love. And no matter how angry or nasty a person can be, when they reach that other side, they're going to be confronted with pure, divine love. And that pure, divine love, you bring it back with you. And many times, Mary, I have given and given pure, divine love to people and realized they have no idea what I've given them, because they don't know anything about real, pure, divine love. And when someone has passed over, if you really, really love them, don't feel grief. Feel joy, because they have gone to that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place, and they are in that perfect, perfect energy that they can decide what they want to do. And you can be grateful that they are no longer in pain. They are no longer hurting. They are no longer whatever their terrible condition was, or if they just stepped away. If they stepped away, they graduated with honors, and you can be grateful that you ever knew them, because something very wonderful has been given to you. An individual who has given their energy through their life to help other people, to make them feel better, look better, and be able to work and be proud of themselves. That is what you can give your fellow man before you make your transition, and your transition can be wonderful. People who are suffering and ill and have to go through that experience before they leave are paying off a great deal of karma, and that karma they have made for themselves. It is not something that somebody did to them. There is no blame. What they are dealing with is karma. For some reason, they've had to have an experience. I knew a man who was 7 years old. He was running across the street with a nickel to get some pennies to share with his friends, which is a loving thing. You agree? That accident cost him a hip, and his hip was in very bad shape the rest of his life. His hip was partially, you know, he could walk, he could do everything, he did a lot of things, but that hip was always his problem, his Achilles heel. It was his teaching. It was teaching him to be divine, know divine love and light, and to be able to care, not for one person or two people, but for all the people he worked with or all the people that were under his work at work, that he had to be there and know that everybody has problems as he had. So that one incident gave him insight to see the goodness of people, and that he had to be careful because he would never really love somebody for fear something would happen to them and then he would be sad. That that was a bad part of his life, and
that's a shame.
You see, that wasn't right. He drug himself through many uncomfortable situations.
And caused himself unnecessary pain.
Yes, he did. And then ended up having a heart attack, in which he suffers with that pain of that for the rest of his life. So there you go. You see, had he not done it in that manner, he could have become a healer because he was given the gift of healing and didn't even realize he had the gift of healing. His gift of healing was so strong that I had met him, and we had a baby in someplace in your area, in the New York or New Jersey area, and I'd been called on to give a healing and for the baby from the hospital. And he happened to be there. He was in the room at the time, and because the other lady I normally call on, because I give a healing myself, but I always call on somebody else, because wherever two or more are gathered, it shall be given, correct? So I asked him,
absolutely.
I said, would you join hands with me to send a healing to this infant? This infant, mind you, I think it was 18 months old or something like that, very tiny, it was around a year old or something, had a heart attack. So he said yes, and we joined hands and sent the healing. The baby, 24 hours later, was okay. And I called him up to tell him the baby was okay. Well, 2.5 years later, they came through here. Actually, they were in Phoenix and found out I lived in Oracle near Tucson, and they came up here to meet me, and he was in New York visiting his family at the time, so he didn't get to meet this little girl. At that time was 2.5 and healthy and pretty and blonde and blue-eyed and had the biggest smile and dimples. That was something that really was sad, because he should have seen his handiwork, and he didn't see it. And, you know, but I told him he could send healing to other people, his brother, his kids, whomever. His own energy, he was given that gift, and that own energy could have healed him when he had his heart attack, but he didn't use it to heal himself. So had he done that, he would have walked right
through
that thing.
We just don't know, Ada Marie. We just don't know.
Well, it's so hard not to know that if you see yourself in perfect health, you will become what you see.
You don't realize how foreign that is to many people. Many people think they have to go to a doctor, pay $150 for a two-minute look over, and get a prescription or get something cut out.
What a shame, you know.
I know.
It's sad because
as you were talking, somebody whispered in my ear that we need to love our loved ones enough to let them go, so that we are not an anchor to their spirit keeping them away from enjoying their new world as much as they can.
You know, that's so true. I get so upset when people say, well, I just can't let go. Well, they're holding them earthbound. They're holding them so they can't release. Their whole system can't be, their whole spirit can't be free to go forward. That what the other side is so fantastic that if they would just let go of them, let them fully make their journey into the other side, they could learn how to communicate with them. They could learn
and
to communicate.
And they worry about us.
Yeah, don't worry about, don't hold them. Don't hold them hostage, literally,
right,
by not releasing
yes.
them. And, you know, it's okay to say, okay, I'm sad. I feel a little sad grief because
there's
they're
a
gone.
Hole in my life, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's not right to hold them and keep them tied to you. You have to release them. Remember, they're better off there. Believe me, it's wonderful there compared to here. And
they're
and
happier,
I'm telling
they're happier
you,
than they have. Yes, yeah.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes.
But
they have much,
you know, the whole thing is like for example, when my husband died, the thing that I did that kept me sane, because I really, you know, how much I loved him, but.
Mm-hmm.
I kept talking to him in my head and said, John, go as far as you can. Go to the highest realm you can possibly go. Take in everything that's available to you now and don't worry about me. I'll take care of Earth until we're together. And you take care of, do everything you can there. And that was the thing that kept me going after
right.
he left, you know.
I had one lady who got a book on grief that she was supposed to grieve for 2 years. I laughed.
Oh, no.
I said, that's hilarious. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you make your life better because you've had the opportunity to have time with this person? Your husband was with you. And you had those wonderful years together. Why in the world would you grieve and hold him hostage in the grief for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of nonsense is that? I never heard of anything so stupid. And they said, I said, they said, well, that's what the book says. I said, well, throw the book away.
Throw the book away.
Not doing you any good. You're depressed. You don't want to be depressed. Those people, when they get there, they are so amazed and so free. And then later on, as they pick and choose work to do, and there's plenty to do over there, before they will come back again usually, but before they do that, they have certain things that they can do. And like my father said, I said to him when I saw my dad, he was sitting under a tree. I said, oh, Daddy, it's wonderful. When are you going to come back? And he said, not for a long time, honey. I'm going to rest and work here. There's plenty I can do here until you get back here. And
yeah.
That was that. And we knew that he wouldn't come back in a rush, you know. He walked
sure.
to his death. He came home from work, laid down, went to bed. Mount Helena's exploded, and the dust from the volcano came through our town. Well, it went all the way to St. Paul, Minnesota, and over 3,000 people died from that dust that they know of.
Wow.
And my dad happened to be one.
No kidding. The Mount Helena?
Mm-hmm.
Mount Helena. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That dust
amazing.
Killed people all the way to St. Paul.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But that was the dust that got my dad, and he left. My brother went in, and Daddy had gotten up, gone to the bathroom, unlocked the door, so obviously he knew he was going to go. And when my brother got off the railroad and went up to have coffee with him, the door was unlocked. And he walked in, and he knew right away. He said he knew when he walked through the door that Dad was gone. And Dad was in bed. And the mortuary, my dad and the man who owned the mortuary across the street were good friends. And Daddy used to be pallbearer for that man a lot. So Al went across the street and got the guy, and they carried Daddy across the street. And so, you know, but he was in a good place. He said, oh, my goodness, the shame. And you do miss him, but remember, you had that time with them and many treasures to keep in your heart that are wonderful treasures. Yeah.
And
all those treasures, why would you be grieving when you were privileged to be with a person and have all those treasures to keep and remember? I mean,
absolutely.
Think about it like that. Those are great treasures, and nobody can take them away from you.
You know, Ada Marie, we have someone who'd like to ask a question, I believe. Let me see if they're hello.
Hello? Hi.
Yes, do you have a question for Ada Marie?
Yeah. My name is
What
Melva.
Is your name?
Melva.
Your name? Melva.
Melva.
Okay. Yes. So
okay,
ask your question.
I was wondering, do you see me moving?
What do you mean, do I see you moving? As a person from one town to another? What are you talking about?
Yeah, one state to another.
Well, the possibility is there if you choose to do it, but I would think hard on it. It's not going to be what you think it'll be.
It might not be as great as you think you're hoping it is, right?
That's right. That's right. So I would think long and hard before you decide. There's many things there that you really don't know anything about. So think about it, go visit, and really take a look around.
Okay.
Is there someone that you care about who's on the other side, Melva?
I might have a couple people, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to call, we can talk to them and see what they tell you. But if you have a question in your mind of whether you should go or not, pay attention to that energy.
Yeah. Okay. Would you give her your telephone number, Ada Marie?
520-896-9510.
Okay.
And I'm in Oracle. I work from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Okay.
Great.
All right, Jen.
What state are you in?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay, and what time is it there?
I don't even know. Hold on one second.
It's about 5 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hang in with us, Melva, because I think you're going to learn some things that you can help other people that you know when through their loss. You know, we all need to work together in this and passing the energy of spirit on. Okay.
Mhm. I will. Thank you. Because
you have a good warm heart. So just hang in with us, okay?
Okay, I will.
We have 2 hours difference between Oracle and where you are. So
you guys are
in the summer it's 3 hours, you know, but
oh really?
But that's it's 'cause you don't go on daylight savings time.
That's right.
So,
you don't.
Yeah. So, because you're 2 o'clock and we're 5. So, that's wonderful. And now, could you tell us about some of the people that of their journey, that when they worked with you and learned how to let go of their loved ones and to to rejoice in their happiness?
Well, I want to tell you about a very, very wonderful experience. A client of mine's grandmother, who had been born in Lebanon and came to America, and then and lived into her 90s, they managed to take her back to the Holy Land and as a gift for her birthday one year. She, I believe, was in her 70s at the time. And when she got off the plane, she kissed the ground and said, turned to her granddaughter and said, "I am home." Well, when she passed away and went to the other side, I happened to be on the mountain doing some work with some holy people, and she came in full regalia. She had been Nefertiti.
Oh, my.
I could not believe it. She came and stood before me, and I looked at her, and I said, "Grandma." And she nodded her head and smiled at all of us, and she left. I was in shock, but I remembered her granddaughter telling me that when she had reached the Holy Land, she kissed the ground and said, "I am home." And I remember her granddaughter telling me that story, and then I saw her myself. And I had worked with her many, many times, and every time she'd say, "Now I'm ready to go. Will you let me go?" And I said, "Well, it's not up to me. It's up to God." And finally, he took her home. And she came into the place where I was up on the mountain. And I briefly saw her, and everyone else did too. And everybody bowed. We all bowed to her and nodded. But it was the most, I knew I wasn't going to be in California when she passed, but I didn't know about being any particular place. I just knew I wouldn't be there when she went. Because every time I saw her, she'd say, "Can I go now?" And I said, "I don't know. It's not up to me." But the interesting thing was, I told her granddaughter that I had seen her in full regalia and knew she had been Nefertiti. It was very interesting. And, it, you know, because it was just so awesome. And then I've had other people that we've called that have come to talk to a loved one, their, say they were their aunt or their uncle or something, and experienced the feeling of having their deceased person recognize them and talk to them. And many times it's been someone who has had a lot of healing. I mean, they've been able to heal. They've been able to help people. When they get over there, they continue on with the work they do to help other people heal. So I believe that there isn't anybody that doesn't have the power within them. If they choose to work with it, have the healing power, they can heal themselves, like it says in the Bible, "Physician, heal thyself." And they can also send that healing to someone else they can lay hands on. They can literally visualize a person perfect, and they will see them perfect. They will become perfect. So
you said something that was really fascinating to me. You said that even if the person was mean in this lifetime, when they got over to the other side, they all the beauty and the loving
nature. No, I said
nature.
They have to face that beauty.
Aha.
They have
and
to
they,
face
they,
that beauty, Mary. Okay, a person who has been a mean, difficult, terrible person and done mean things, he has to face that beauty. In other words, when he faces what he has done to people and sees the beauty that he could have done, can you imagine?
Okay.
Can you imagine?
But then doesn't that beauty heal?
Heal him in time. But I think it was Sammy Davis who said that he died and went over there. And when he saw what a wretched person he was, he didn't want to stay. He came back and he started being a nice person, helping people. I think it was him. It was one of those people who went over and came back because they said, oh, my God, I was a horrible person. He came back and he got a second chance.
And made up for all his ignorance before.
His ignorance and his bad manners and his ways. He got a chance to straighten up. But they gave
that was,
him a
that's
chance.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
And I know a lady who was in a coma for about 7 months, I believe. She was a woman at home who was really difficult to deal with, and then she got something happened to her, and she went into a coma. When she came out of that coma, she was a different person.
Uh-huh.
She was a different person, totally different person. She came out of it, and she said, "I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry." They were the first words out of her mouth. And she asked to be forgiven, and she turned her life around completely. And my goodness, her husband couldn't even identify her. He didn't know what to think.
Yeah, but I'm convinced that God doesn't punish us. We punish ourselves.
That's right.
When we see what we've done, that's when we really suffer.
That is the suffering. You have to learn to make those changes. And I always say to people, before you find fault, remember, the fault you found was in you, or you wouldn't have found it in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, those words are more true than you can ever think. My great-grandmother said, don't search the fault. The fault will find you.
Yes. And in the Bible it says you complain about the mote in your neighbor's eye and ignore the plank in your own.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yes, indeed. So,
yeah, I should
yes,
say.
we can always see how terrible the other people are.
Actually, it's not easy for me to do that. And
yeah.
I have to be really careful because I see the good, and I look at the good, and I'm thrilled about the good.
I know.
And then when I see them not acting like their energy pattern should be acting, then I really feel badly.
It is so disappointing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Your heart aches. I mean, I worked with a person for about 7 years trying to get them to be aware that they could heal themselves and that they could be fine. And I would cry all the way home because I could see they didn't want to be nice. They didn't want to be sweet and loving. They wanted to make people miserable. And they were very good at it. Everybody that I knew that ever talked to them or ever knew them would say the same thing. They said, this person doesn't want to be well. And they weren't. So finally, I just had to, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't help anymore.
Yeah.
So I just had to quit.
Had
because
to give that energy where it would help, right?
Yeah, and you would think that when they seen things going smoothly and nice, they would be happy, that they would be grateful, that they would be wanting to, you know, share that wonderful energy. But they didn't. They didn't. And that's the things you learn as a healer, that there are some people who will heal because they want to, and people, no matter how much good you give them, will not heal because they do not want to. They want the privilege of making people feel sorry for them. And believe me, there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people are like that. And
you know, it was given to me once that you cannot fill a cup when it's upside down.
No, you can't. And so you have to look. You have to really pay attention. When you care to see somebody grow in consciousness because they have a healing ability, that's the thing that is wearisome, and it throws you right off. I mean, if you can see somebody with a tremendous healing ability and get them to understand that healing ability is their stock in trade, and they can do wonders for people, wonders, you know. I healed a man, and he and his wife came, and I healed him. And amazingly enough, he came into my office before he left, and he said, how much do you owe on that property? And I said, I don't know. He said, look it up. And I got out the book, you know, the business, and I said, excuse me, I got to shut that off.
Oh, my.
and
the cavalry is coming.
Right. And I said to him, $64,210. He sat down and wrote a check for the full amount. He said, pay it off. You have given me a new life. And I was shocked. But he has been the most wonderful person. And he is so healthy, and he has gone on to do many wonderful things. Many wonderful things. So, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Again, you don't know. And one of the ladies, that she was a nurse, and she worked in a hospital in California. And one of her clients, he lived, and then when he passed away, he left her his boat down at Wilmington Pier. He left her his boat. And there she was with a yacht and didn't know what to do with it. So there are many things that happen when you do healing, and you don't know about it until later when somebody passes and they remember you. You know, they'll remember you, and here will come a letter that you've inherited something. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. So,
Some people really, really treasure the gifts we give them and pay back.
That's really a wonderful thing. And the wonderful thing about it is they become more healing. I mean, they know they've been healed, and they want to know how to do it, and they want to know how to help somebody else. And I said, well, when you look at them, see them perfect. The first thing you do, no matter what their complaint is, you see them perfect, in perfect health, and you hold the vision of their perfect health and hold it and hold it and hold it until they can hold it for themselves. And when they hold it for themselves, their whole world will change, and they will get well. So it doesn't matter how bad off somebody is, like me. I knew I would live, and I knew I would be in perfect health. And Mary, I was stabbed 26 times, and you know, all the organs were hit and damaged, and I was badly damaged. But I wrote my dad a letter, and I said, Dad, I'm damaged, all right. I've been stabbed 26 times, but I'm here to stay. You can take that to the bank. And he went to my sister, and he said to my sister, he said, I got a letter from A. Marie, and this is it. And she read it. He had tears in his eyes, and he said, she'll be okay. She'll come out of it. And I did. Because I knew I had to do something. I had to make things better. I had children to raise, and I had to make them. My vow was to see that my children graduated from high school and went to college. That was my goal, and that's what I gave my life to. And that's what happened. So now they're all gone, and they've got families, and they're doing their thing, and they're happy, and that was my goal, and I never let up on that goal. I gave up everything that I would maybe humanly enjoy in life or want to do to see that they stayed together as a family. They knew each other, and they went out, and they made something of their life, and they did, every one of them. So
that's great.
I feel very proud of my children, very proud of the fact that they, you know, they didn't sit down and they never even knew about being on welfare, because I said, that's not going to happen to my kids. My kids are going to grow up and learn to work and be strong. And they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And the prayers from the other side, you know, people on the other side pray for you. They send love and light to you. They send all kinds of healing, and you'll be thinking things are pretty tough, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a break, and things get better.
Mm-hmm.
You open an envelope, and there's a $50 bill from a friend who you never expected or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just what you need that day to do whatever you need to do. And believe me, I pray a lot. I spend my 1 hour every morning in silence that's something you need to know, folks. Silence is golden, and the reason it's golden is when you go into the pure silence, what you are doing is you're not feeling the air, you're not cold, you're not hot, you're not anything. You're just silent. Your whole entire being is silent, and at that moment, that time, during that silent time that you're in, you are receiving unlimited healing from God, and that is your work, your mind, your thought, your activity, your home, everything. That silence is healing your entire life as it stands before you. And believe me, when you're in that silent place, you are being not only touched and held in the hand, but Jesus has given you his very, very all. You are the resurrection and the life. And every time you go into that silence, you come out the resurrection and the life. And hold that statement, because that's one of his greatest statements. I am the resurrection and the life. And when you say that, you are recreating whatever you have need of to be given unto you. Watch it happen. Try it. Watch it happen, because it does happen. And I'm a living example of that. Because when I was awakened and I had one lung gone and 5 stab wounds in my stomach, 1 in my heart near the kidney, the colon severed in 3 places, I knew I was facing the resurrection and the life. I would be, and my right arm, I would be in perfect health, which I am today. And Mary has met me. She can tell you I was amazed that I looked like I looked. But I was only 19, you see, and I've been 19 a lot of years. So I just remained 19. And everybody
laughed.
But,
Absolutely.
I've met Mary, and we've been good friends and shared healings together and done a lot of work. And it's always a pleasure to be on a show with her, because she, too, can tell a story that will make your hair stand on end. And the truth of the matter is, she had the faith and the strength and the wisdom to stay on top of it and find a way through it. And you can find a way. You just have to do it. Don't depend on somebody else to do it for you. Don't depend on the doctor to give it to you. He's not going to do it. You have to do it, and that means you have to go within and pray and see your perfection. Look in the mirror and see your perfection. Yeah.
You know, even with a healer, you have to do your part. This healing business is a partnership. It's not a fix me. It's not a mechanic's shop where you go in and get fixed. It is, we bring in the energy, we bring in the love, we bring in the power that you can use to heal yourself. And the only true healing, I think you'll agree with me, Ada Marie, is self-healing.
That's
we
right.
We need to help them heal themselves.
That's right. We give them the tools to do with. When you work on somebody's feet, you can tell exactly what's going on in their body. And if you tell them, and if they do what you recommend, they'll walk away from whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll walk away from it. I walked away from it, and most of the people who have met me over the years could never tell anything happened to me if I got a shirt on my arm and they can't see the scar where my right arm was severed.
Sure.
And the rest of it. But they have to want to be well. They have to want to be joyous. They have to want to be happy. And if they don't want to be happy, if they want to have trouble, they make trouble. They end up not well.
And if they don't believe it, there's nothing
they won't
you can
heal.
Do.
No.
That's right.
When they don't believe it.
They will just turn around and just ruin everything that you did.
That's right. That's exactly what they do. And it's heartbreaking, and your heart aches because of it. But you know what? They're going to face that when they get on the other side, so... You don't need to be heartbroken. You got to know that you did your best shot, and God will do the rest. And that's
exactly.
And
when we first begin, it's a little bit harder to know that. Of course,
yes.
You had your great grandmother and your grandmother, and you had some teachings that I wasn't privy to. You know, I didn't have that kind of warm and welcoming encouragement for my gifts. I just had to, I had to battle through and finally admit it. You know, they had to beat me down. It was pretty bad.
Right. Well, and you know, you don't know how lucky you are to have that in your family until you're fully grown. And they would say to you, I can remember over and over, my grandma would pat me on the head and say, someday you'll understand. Well, Mary and the rest of you people out there in the world, I have had incidences like this, and somebody has said, well, you will understand. Who knows what you'll understand? Who in the world can ever guess what they're going to understand? Because you don't know. And
no, you really don't.
You really don't.
You don't know until you know.
That's right.
When you don't know, you don't even know you don't know. So.
That's right. It's like, okay. What is it I don't know? I don't know that
right.
I don't know. And it goes on and on and on. And then one day you something happens and you wake up and you go, oh.
Yeah.
I remember
absolutely.
Hearing those words in your head. Well, someday you'll understand. Well, I'm still carrying those words around. I still have them. And I think I'm still learning and I'm still growing. And everybody should want to learn, and everybody should want to go grow, and everybody should want to be in perfect health, mentally, physically, and emotionally, and they should work toward that perfect health. That's a very big thing for them to do. So, working for your perfect
health. And when we take care of ourselves, we free them to do the incredible things that are now available for them over there.
Right. Right, and it's so wonderful over there. I mean, they can send you thoughts. They can put things in your way to work with. I mean, my goodness, I tell you, if it wasn't for the knowing that there is people over there that care about you and they will send you help, and no matter how mean and selfish you have been and self-serving. And, you know, caught up in your own life of misery, you still are going to be handled with kid gloves and cared about and loved. And when you get there, you can begin to understand what you could have had. And that's a real sad story for you, because then someday you're going to come back and do it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someday
yeah.
you're going to
yeah.
come back and... Hopefully you'll have that knowledge not to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
That's the way it is. And you know, you can grieve you can grieve over a storm, and as well as a person. You can. There's a lot of grief about a lot of stuff that's nonsense. If you look at it and say, "What did I learn from this? What did I learn from this?"
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get somewhere, because you're going to learn something, and you're not going to have to do it again. Think about it.
Absolutely.
Who wants to do it twice?
Right. Definitely. I remember my mentor in my first metaphysics mentor, and he had a bad day, and I thought, "Well, what happened?" Never mind. It was bad enough going through the first time. Why live through it twice?
Right. Why give it any power?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
He was
don't
so wise.
Give it power. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful to watch people create misery in their life. And they do create it. Nobody does it for them. They do create it. They might blame somebody else, but they actually do it to themselves.
Yeah.
So,
I had a grandmother who grieved for a 2.5-year-old who died of the complications from measles. You know, children used to die in the old days from measles.
They did.
And a doctor gave her a tracheotomy because she had, I think she had pneumonia from it.
Yeah.
And she grieved for, I don't know, it had to be over 30 years. And then her number two daughter, my mother's sister, Ollie, died. And then she switched from grieving little Lily to grieving for Ollie.
Yeah,
so she spent her whole life grieving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a waste of a life.
Your career. Yeah.
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 I know. Well, I have
to
do this.
The graveyard every decoration.
Why
they called it Decoration Day and did a Memorial Day in those old days.
Right. Yeah. In those days it was Decoration Day.
Yeah.
But I've had a number of people come and say to me, "Would you please help me to break loose from the earth?" And I said, "I will do what I can, but the only thing I can tell you is somebody is holding you earthbound because they won't let go of you." And they say,
mm-hmm.
"Well, yeah, that's true." I said, "Well, then you let go of them. You just release them. If you release them and refuse to have
good.
A thought, you will get freed, but they just don't realize what they're doing to you." So a couple people have managed to get freed that I
mm-hmm.
know of over the years. They have actually come and said, I'm free, and I have to stop and think about that. And they have freed themselves from the people hanging on to them, grieving. So,
you know, that is totally amazing that when you can free someone to be as happy as they can possibly be on the other side, and it can even happen with someone who passed away a long time ago. They're still not free.
Oh, amen. That's right.
Because
they
can be tied. They can be tied to an object or something.
Or somebody until that person passes, and then the grief
mm-hmm.
is gone. You know.
Yeah. Or they can even be tied to an idea or shame or guilt. You know, they need to be freed so that they can go and receive all the blessings that they're there for them.
Well, and not only that, they can look at themselves and say, "Why did I create such a monster?" And release the monster, and then all that crap goes away. They see what they've done and know that this was not the thing to do and forgive themselves. You got to forgive yourself. You can forgive others, but if you don't forgive yourself first, what good is it?
Yeah.
You have to
Absolutely.
Forgive yourself first. I recently had to forgive myself for trying to see the perfection in an individual who never wanted perfect health. They never wanted perfect health. And
you treated them out of their illness?
I treated them.
Their illness?
Right. They have such pleasure in making people feel sorry for them.
Oh, dear.
That they have caused more people to have heart attacks and die because they have created so much misery for them and their own people that loved them. And they created so much misery for them that they just, you know, was too bad. But they just do it, and they like to be, they like to make people miserable.
And you can't help, you can't help the others unless they reach out to you.
Right.
That's the bad thing. We can't reach out and just decide I'm going to heal this person. They have to want it.
They have to want it. They have to receive it with their heart, not with their mouth, with their heart. Their heart has to receive it. And they can say all kinds of nice things to you that they like this, they love this, and then go on about their business. They don't. They're just paying lip service to you. And you just have to get wise enough to walk away. And that's a hard walk to take, you know. Because they're going to, they want to be miserable, and they want you to be miserable, and they want their loved ones to be miserable, so they'll feel sorry for them.
And they sadly, they think that's the only way they can keep them.
Yeah, that's what they think. That's the only way they can keep them, and they're not really keeping them. They're killing them off one at a time. So, end of that. And we're just about to the end of our show. And
yes,
I want
would you give your website and your telephone again?
Yes, it's the website is Ada Marie at the Golden Oracle .com, and Oracle is spelled Oracle.com. And my phone number is 520-896-9510. 520-896-9510. And remember, leave your phone number and your name, because if I know where you're at, I know when I can call you back, or I'll call and might catch you in the middle of the night or something. So
good time to call.
Yeah.
You can leave a good time to call back.
That's right. They can do that. And they're allowed 15 minutes for the introduction. So then if they have 15 minutes to for us to get acquainted to see if I can help them. If I can't help them, I'm quickly going to tell you there's nothing I can do for you. And I have no problem saying that, and that's why you don't see me on television today, because I said to the producers, if I don't get an answer, I have nothing to give. I just simply have to say, I am not getting an answer for you, and I cannot tell you, answer your question. And they said, well,
you're
we can't have that.
You're not a performing monkey.
No. And I, and so, you know, That just is something
you
I can do.
You give what you have to give, and you don't make up a lie just to make the producers happy.
No.
That's
what
happens.
Their loss.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Is there one last thing you could say to our audience?
Yes. Wake up with a smile and go to bed with a smile, even if you have to read a funny story to smile. Do something to make yourself smile before you go to bed. If there's a really big problem, what I do, I'm going to tell you how I do it. When things are tough, you know, and the lights are heavy and the weight is heavy, I say, okay, God, I'm turning everything over to you now, tonight. Tomorrow morning I'll pick up the pieces you left for me. So I just give it all to him, and then I just do what I have to do the next day. Sometimes I have to do a lot. Yeah.
You play hot potato with God, huh?
Right, I do. So I just say, you take care of it tonight. I'll be here in the morning. And I'm here, and of course, that phone will ring for sure. You can be sure. It'll ring. So, but you can't take it to bed with you, because then you're not going to rest and you're not going to be any good tomorrow.
That's
so don't
right. Well,
take it to bed.
And love and light. Love and light and all
light.
The blessings.
And bless you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.